Campus FM presents 100 Years of Women on Campus, produced and presented by Patricia Camilleri. Welcome to this anniversary series remembering 100 years of women on campus. I'm Patricia Camilleri, and I shall be looking at this theme from many different angles: the sociological, the statistical, the anthropological, and the historical. I shall be asking questions about life for female students and academics on and off campus, yesterday and today, and possibly also tomorrow. I'm very pleased to have with me today Dr. Anna Borch, Director of the Center for Labor Studies at the University of Malta, and also Dr. Josan Kutayar, who's a Senior Lecturer in the Department of Gender Studies, which is Faculty of Social Wellbeing. She's also Coordinator of the Consultative Council for Women's Rights. There are two further guests, Dr. Maria-Therese Kushkiri and Ms. Anna Fenech, past students of the Diploma in Gender, Work and Society. And they're here to discuss how the diploma impacted their lives. Dr. Maria-Therese Kushkiri completed her diploma course and then went on to do a master's and then a PhD at Loughborough, if I remember rightly, in the UK, in an area related to gender and sports. And Ms. Fenech has just finished the course. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
I think I can go straight into the program today, as I suspect that 28 minutes is not going to be enough to cover all the points that are relevant to this subject, because I'm sure we five women could sit here all day quite happily discussing them. I'd like to start by asking Dr. Borch to describe this a little bit, the Center for Labour Studies in which this diploma is placed.
Okay, so the centre is actually one of the first centres which was established 38 years ago. It was one of the first. It was then known as the Workers' Participation Development Centre. And it was established as a need by workers. At that time, a lot of government entities had the worker directors, and the unions were realizing that you can't just put a worker operating at high level without giving those people the necessary formation, the necessary, you know, without having some academic resources on which to rely on. And so, as a demand by the union, and most specifically the General Workers Union, the center was set up and started offering the first courses related to the world of work. And the first diploma was a diploma in labor studies, which eventually then became a degree in work and human resources. So the center is, we're made up of just three full-time academics, but we employ a lot of part-timers. And at the moment we have about 150 students offering courses from certificates, diploma, to undergrads and a master's. So it has evolved throughout time, and it has continued offering things always related to the world of work. So that is our focus, the world of work.
And what you've left out was that there was the diploma in gender and development, which started in the 1990s, 1995, and this was funded by central government to ensure that the people who work within the public service have capacity development. And it enabled workers within the public sector to come here 2 days a week, usually, and do a 6-hour week courses on gender and development. This was an issue because when the Women and Society Department was set up, it was realized that there was no capacity within the workers to try to introduce gender mainstreaming, which was introduced by law, by legal notice, in 2000. In fact, we still have a lacuna here because we should be conducting gender mainstreaming, but we do not know, have the know-how within the civil service for people to do this kind of
Hoping that we're going to be doing a full program on gender mainstreaming this series.
Actually, the first Josanne is right. The first time it was offered, it was just a certificate, and it attracted about 90 participants. This was about 25 years ago, which was quite amazing. You know, at that time awareness was not as high as it is now, but yes, it did attract at that time quite a lot of participants, and then it went on to develop into, you know, a diploma which changed as well throughout time.
And from what you're saying, I can gather that most of the students, those participants in these courses, would have been working full-time and doing their programs, their courses part-time, evening, or
yes,
or not?
All our courses are part-time, and most of them are in the evening, except for the Diploma in Gender, Work and Society, which is offered specifically in the morning, because we attract a lot of women who may be, you know, they may be young mothers or older persons who may have retired. We have the last course we had a range from 23 to over 60, so you get a wide range. But we always do it in the morning, twice a week, between 9 and 12. So it's kind of an introductory course where persons coming for that course do not feel overwhelmed into going into a full-time academic bachelor course, but it's a kind of the first step into getting into university. And yes, we attract a lot of mature students. Most of our students enter through the adult learner clause, and that they wouldn't have the formal qualifications.
In fact, I remember being a mature student myself, and in the BA course that I followed, there were actually several mature students, and I often wondered what the lecturers actually thought of us, whether they were actually keen to have us in, or whether we were asking too many questions.
I have had two students who did their dissertation on mature students. They are usually a role model for the younger ones, because they bring their experience and apply it to theory. And that helps the other students realize that they can apply theory to their lives. What's interesting is that Malta is still a little bit slow when it comes to acknowledge prior learning. And as Marie-Thérèse did, we ask our students to go through a lot of loopholes, and step by step, you started from a diploma and went on to an MA. Mm-hmm. In Malta, that wouldn't be
possible. No.
You have to go to a BA, then MA, sometimes MPhil, and then PhD. Mm-hmm. And I think it's high time that this prior learning is taken into consideration.
We have just started, but yes, I mean, in class you notice a very big difference between the younger students, fresh out of junior college, who are just 18-year-olds, and the older ones who have a baggage of experience which they bring with them, which is very useful to draw upon, you know, because when you're talking, they can, you know, really kind of relate to their life, relate to experience they went through, and it makes a very big difference. I find teaching mature students very rewarding, and if I had to, you know, I would say I really prefer to work with and enjoy very much working with mature students.
What's different between this kind of course and other courses? Like, for example, there are other courses which attract mature students, the liberal arts one. The thing is that we follow them. We're constantly following and giving. Anna, you can speak about the incident you just spoke about.
Yes, I can vouch for that. I mean, I've just finished my diploma. I will be graduating this November. And I was totally, totally taken aback by the excessive, I would say almost, availability of all lecturers. You send them an email, within a couple of hours, you get feedback back, you get all the help. You know, I was coming from the world of school. The teacher is there, the students are on the other side. But I'm still taken aback at the willingness and the help offered to our students by the lecturers. I've said it a million times, I think, you know, I mean, and for me, it's always even referring to Dr. Borch and Dr. Josette Gutierrez, like by their first name. You know, it takes a little bit of getting used to. But yes, their help, their invaluable help is utterly unbelievable.
That's wonderful. Well, wonderful to hear. I'm sure you're both very pleased to hear that at that table. I was going through the list of units in the diploma course, and as I come from a communications background myself, I was fascinated to find that one of the first ones on the list is gender and public speaking. Whilst I agree wholeheartedly that good public speaking skills obviously are a real asset to anybody in any situation, I was surprised to see it given so much importance. Well, can you explain why?
This came from the past, because a lot of them were civil servants, and as women they were supposed to be silent. So this was a bridge between their work, family, and then academic life. And they needed to express themselves within class, because we build, as Anna pushes a lot, in presentations. It's not just writing, you have to present your work.
Yes. Able to make a good argument as well in public. And from you know, the knowledge gained through this course, we actually now apply this to all our courses. So all our, even the other bachelor degrees, we have inserted a unit where, because we have mature students who have, may have left schools, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. So we teach that this unit teaches them how to kind of write academically, but also how do you make a presentation? Where do you start? How do you build an argument? You know, what images you should put on your presentation? How do you work in a group for the presentation? And we have found that to be very useful. And I can really see the difference when we see students coming in initially, especially people coming for the gender course. Usually these are women who were bringing children up, who may have been away from the world of work, perhaps having low confidence in themselves. They think they are not perhaps worth, you know, they. And so by instilling this confidence in them, by making them go out and, you know, present in public, then you see slowly how they, you know, kind of evolve, how better they become in communicating, and it is by the end, you know, you really see a big difference, and it's so satisfying that then you get these same people, you see them out in the everyday world, and they are able to make a difference because they have been trained and they have gained that self-confidence and assurance, which comes through by putting people perhaps at the deep end, but then they also gain a lot from that. So I find that unit is essential and makes a very big difference.
Can people. I point something out? This diploma is offered by both the Center for Labor Studies and the Gender Studies Department, and the units are split in half. The students have the possibilities to continue into human resources.
Yes.
And we're working on creating a BA where the diploma can be embedded in another degree, the gender studies department, that means. So it's in the pipeline.
In our case, they can already, students who manage to get the diploma can enter into the third year of the degree course in work and human resources, because the basis is very similar. And so you would save 2 years and enter into the third year, so that eventually then by the fifth year you get a degree. So there's also this opportunity for people to continue, you know, building on their academic skills.
Yes, I can imagine that's very attractive to do it in sort of in stages.
In stages, yes, yeah. Where you build on your confidence and your achievements.
In the second semester, I was looking at the credits in the second semester, and they all looked extremely interesting, and I thought beneficial to everybody. In fact, I was very tempted to come and do the diploma myself.
Why not?
Because one of the things that I had a guy from finance who I was interviewing some years back now, and he was saying, you know, people come out of school without certain basic literacies, whether it's financial literacy, economic literacy, a bit of psychology, and law as well, which is really, really important. I noticed that you have this gender in economics, gender in the world of work, gender in psychology, and gender in law. And I thought, gosh, yes, this is really going to strengthen the hand of all the women who are going to, or whoever is going to do this course, because they will come away with a tool set that they may well not actually have had a good grasp on beforehand. What do you? Was that the purpose? I presume
yes, that is the purpose. These are just tasters, of course, because in a unit you cannot cover all the law, but they would be very specific to gender, even economics. We give them the fundamental principles, but at least you know, when you hear perhaps the news, when you hear, you know, things happening around you through these particular courses, I think it does open up your perspective, and that allows you to kind of filter that information and perhaps also analyze it a little bit better than if you had not been given these tasters. I don't know, perhaps Anna can speak a little bit more, and Marie-Therese, how the course may have helped them in these different units and what difference it made in their lives.
Yes, in fact, I'd like now to turn to these past students and start perhaps with Marie-Therese, if I may. I've known Marie-Therese for many years, so rather than Dr. Kushkiri, I think
that's true.
We'll do that. Before looking further into the workings of the diploma, which I think is very, very interesting, and I'd like to turn to you, Marie-Therese, and ask you a little bit about the journey that you undertook at the beginning, what expectations you might have had at the beginning of this, and how this course has been I think, looking at your CV now, really a key to your further studies.
Well, I come from an era when women stopped working when they got married, but I like studying, I like reading, I love knowledge. Okay, so when the kids are young, you're very much occupied with the children, but as the children start growing up, I think I couldn't cope with just taking care of the house, taking care of the children. I needed to do something a bit more for my brain.
Stimulate.
Yes, so because that part of me was kind of slowly dying. So this opportunity came up. As I said, I always like studying, and I said, okay, I can do this because it's in the morning, so the children are at school. I can do my assignments in the evening when they sleep. So I wanted to go to university. So I got into this diploma, and the diploma covers all different areas. Now, I was already involved in sport, where I was already feeling affected by the inequality of sport between the men and women, you know. So I was always kind of, I became involved in a situation, in an organization of sport, where I would have to ask, so what's happening to the women's section? What's happening to the women's section? And eventually, with time, they stopped me asking that question, because they would turn to me and say, matter is, so, and the women were going to do that. So I was already being affected by that issue. And this diploma in gender studies was kind of, it enticed me to get there, to see whether, because the men would tell me, oh, you're imagining things, or what are you inventing? Where are you getting this from? So I wanted to know if I am imagining things or if it really existed. So this was a place where I could go and learn. And it covers such a vast area, like you said, law. So I came from the world of sport. That was my passion. I used the different areas that the diploma covers for sport. So if we had an assignment about media, I turned that into media and sport. If it was about the law, I did my assignment about the sports law, and I actually published the assignment on the newspaper before the equality law came out, but obviously it went with the wind. But you try, okay? As Anna mentioned, when there was the unit about presentations, we actually had even a presentation about what we should wear in public, how we should stand, how we should speak, because we were brought up as women to sit in the background and listen. It's like little
seen
girls.
But not heard.
Exactly, seen like little children, you know? So many of us didn't have the confidence that men have automatically, because they're always told to stand up and do and whatever. So that, for me, gave us women a bit more confidence, you know, that I know how to do this. So now I have a bit more confidence to do it. Because it's pointless learning a lot of things, gaining a lot of knowledge and just keeping it to yourself and not sharing it with others.
So with these tools, you then went on?
Exactly. And it gives you the confidence in yourself. It opened such a world for me that I started seeing, oh my God, so this is true, this is actually true, and I can actually do something about it. So it made me, it created a different me when I left my diploma. I had, and then the courage to, because of this, there was an opportunity. I was already on the Olympic Committee, on the executive board, and there was an opportunity to do a master's with the International Olympic Committee, and because of my diploma, they accepted me to do this master's. My master's was about leadership in sport, so from the gender part, I continued doing this leadership of women in sport, whatever.
And then?
Because I had the experience of 8 years in the Maltese Olympic Committee, so that's management in an organization, and my diploma and my master's, it was enough for Loughborough University to accept me to do a PhD in management of sports organizations. So I never had a first degree, okay? And I was a housewife for a very long time, although I had worked previously. So this means that anybody can do this. Any woman who wants to study and who wants to better herself, who wants to gain the confidence that maybe she doesn't have because she hasn't been away from the knowledge world, that's what I call it, okay, can do this. It's not easy, because even I panicked when I had to do my first assignment, because I had done quite a long while before. You know, but there are people to help you if you just ask. And all the other students that do this course are always very willing to help the new ones.
That's a nice sentiment.
And it kind of creates a bond with you, with the people who do the course. Because you're more or less doing it, the basic reasons in the background are the same. I did my diploma in 1997 to 1999. I was over 40 years old. The people who I did the diploma with are still my friends today. And some of them, we still meet on a regular basis. So it creates a bond.
So you were, you
know,
the same
and we all help each other, and yes, we all help each other, you know. So it's great. It gives you the confidence to move on. And if you sustain your brain and you feed it and you keep going into things where you learn knowledge, it keeps alive. It doesn't die, but you have to feed it to get there. Mm-hmm. And I augur all women to do this course.
Well, I'm sure there are many listeners who are very keen now.
No, it's time for women, whoever like me, whose children are grown up, who haven't done or maybe gone into the work phase, to do something for themselves. Mm-hmm. This is what it's all about. It's doing it for yourself.
And you.
And men, Marie-Thérèse, and men.
And men, there aren't enough men, because unfortunately we're preaching to the converted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men are not aware what women have to go through, the discrimination and the hurdles that we have to face and the burdens that we go through to get to the same level that they get to easily.
Yeah. But men who are carers,
yes,
are also facing the same hurdles.
Yes.
So there are men out there who would also benefit from this course.
Because they are going through an area which is women's, considered women's, that's why. So they get the same problems.
Mm-hmm. So Anna, tell us your, give us your take on the course.
I am race race contemporary. I went back to work 4 weeks after having my daughter in 1985. And I was HR manager. It was back then personnel manager. Now it's termed as HR. And I realized how difficult it is. The questions I got asked, like, did something happen to your baby? What happened to your baby? It was unacceptable to go back to work with a four-week-old daughter. Mm-hmm. But luckily, I had a good setup. I'm one of eight children, the youngest, and my sisters could look after my daughter. Because I was HR manager or personnel manager at the time, I realized the problems we were facing, but I couldn't define it as a gender or discrimination or whatever. I couldn't articulate it, and I helped all the women. They can vouch for it. I'm still, you know, very good friends with most. This was the textile industry in the 80s, 70s and 80s. And I could feel their pain that they had to look after their children, after their homes. Many of them, like Marie-Thérèse said, like you have your child and you just, that's it, you stay at home, even having problems, financial problems, some of them. But the few who came back faced hurdles, unheard of. You know, I mean, they had to do the work, they had to earn the money. The money would go to the husband, unfortunately, or whatever. Anyway, that is why I got interested into following this course of gender work. Obviously, there's the gender issue, there's the work issue. I love the work laws, the social policy laws. I've continued to read and read and read and follow the laws. I still do it to this very day. And I said, but I came to university at the age of 62. Because back then I was working full-time, I didn't have the time to do it. This was a private company, not the public sector. Again, I feel that there's a little bit of discrimination there, with the public sector getting all the perks, like they can attend university and become whatever, whereas we don't have it in the private sector. If you can't afford it financially, you need to go to work. You can't tell your boss, you know, I'm having two mornings off a week or whatever, even if you are going to replace the hours. How are you going to work those hours that you are away, you know?
And so it would have to be a very enlightened
there are problems, although I worked for a Swedish company who were very, very, very you know, very, very helpful when it came to flexibility. I was working flexible hours. I was working from home for 4 hours a day and working at the office for 4 hours. So realistically, I can't complain. I'm not complaining. But I had it back in the 80s when I didn't have a definition for all of this. Flexible hours, teleworking, you know. Anyway, so yes, I came for this course because I checked the study units. And as you said, you know, they're all very, very interesting study units. Besides, there's there, which I think should be obligatory to all students in Malta, is media literacy. It is one of the last study units we did. And but each and every one of them, each and every study unit has given me a lot. It's an eye-opener. Mm-hmm. And they are taste test to what we have, like sort of the law and crime, violence on women, and it's not only violence, physical violence. You know, when you tend to think violence on women, we tend to think, you know, beaten blue and black. It's not the case. So not the, I mean, it is a problem as well. Don't get me wrong. But yes, this course opens a lot and a lot of opportunities for, and it's a taster to what you want to do. If, I mean, it's a course in itself. As I said, you can be working with NGOs or European entities, whatever. Like, it's, you just get the diploma for that. But on the other hand, it is definitely a taster and an eye-opener on a lot of subjects, in my opinion.
Well, thank you very much for that. I'm sure that there will be a lot of listeners who are very interested in both your stories and in the course. And we'll be giving a telephone number at the end, right at the end, so that if anybody's interested, they can contact the course director. Just one little question to each of you. We talk a lot about gender equality, gender mainstreaming, improving it. Are we moving towards those goals, or are we going backwards, forwards? Where are we, really and truly, in all honesty?
We have a lot of laws. How they are implemented is another issue. When even if you look at domestic violence or rape, every time there is a case, I cringe. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is the perpetrator always gets it scot-free. Mm-hmm. And with regards also to work, we are persuading and pushing more women to join the labor market. But have we changed the infrastructure to facilitate women's joining the labor market? I call Malta a women's silent revolution. Why is there a decrease in population? Because women have realized that they can't cope with work and raising kids. Mm-hmm. If the employers want more children to be born, we have to change school hours. We have to ensure that the extracurricular activities are happening in a context where parents don't have to leave their job, ferry their kids to the extracurricular context, and then back home. We need to change everything, even when the electricity and water meters people come. So many things have to change. What do we want in Malta?
Well, I told you this was going to take more than 28 minutes, didn't I? So, unfortunately, we've come to the end. I'd like to thank my guests, Dr. Anna Borge, Dr. Josiane Kotayar, Anna Fenech, and Dr. Marie-Thérèse Kushkiri for being here. And very quickly, to give a telephone number for people who might be interested in this diploma, 2340-2731, or email cls@um.edu.mt. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for listening to 100 Years of Women on Campus. If you would like to hear the programs again, just go to www.maltauniversitybroadcasting.com and click on webcasts. Join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. You have just listened to 100 Years of Women on Campus, produced and presented by Patricia Camilleri.